I was sitting at the dinner table, honestly, just playing with my food. I was trying to stall long enough for my sister to finish washing all the dishes so I didn't have to do any. It was October 1979, and if you remember back in those days, and I know some of you do, some of you don't, back in those days, the phone was actually nailed to the wall. And it had this spaghetti-looking, curly-Q-looking thing they called a cord. And if you would pick up that phone and try to go too far, it would snap your neck right back. But we still all ran to the phone as kids. When the phone rang, we all went right to it. Well, unless my stepdad was home. That night he wasn't home, though, because he had gone to the lake house with his parents to go deer hunting. It was opening day of bow season. And so I'm sitting there at the table. The phone rings. We all rush to the phone to get to the phone. My mom pushes us all back and takes the phone to her head and shushes us all so she can hear. Then her face changes. No! The phone hits the floor. And the next few hours, days, weeks were nothing but a blur. There had been a car accident, and my stepfather was DOA. The ambulance passed by his parents' lake house twice. The accident only half a mile from that home. That phone call changed my life. I'm driving in the car with my wife through the fun and the joy that is downtown Dallas rush hour traffic. I'm probably 65 miles or so from home. We're on our way to a conference. We've got another 30 or so miles to go. And as we're driving, my phone rings. And the lady on the other line says, "My name is so-and-so, so-and-so. I am a deputy dispatcher at the Denton County Sheriff's Office. And I need you." And I'm thinking to myself, my three kids are at home, the oldest of which at the time was 12, 10 and 8. I'm ready to slam on my brakes and flip a 180 right there in traffic. She says, no, it's not about the kids, I assure you. But I do need your immediate attention. And I said, okay, what is it? She said, we have an incident and I'm going to put you in touch with the person at the scene. Here's his cell phone number. Well, apparently what happened is my two master escape artists, a 2-year-old Siberian Husky and an 18-month-old black lab, had gotten free. And they were the perpetrators of a present terrorist act. So I call the number, I get the officer on the scene, I quickly get the address, I pass it to my wife. She's on the phone with the kids. They're trying to find a neighbor who's an adult to go claim the dogs before they're put down or put into the pound. And I asked the officer, can I get some details of what happened? And he said, and he hands the phone to the victim. Well, the owner of the victim. And that phone call went something like this.
Is this Mr. Norris? Mr. Norris? I was about ready to shoot that wolf of yours and that Rottweiler too. They's in my goat pen. And I was terrified because I was in the corner and that wolf had blood all over him and I thought I was going to die. And I got one goat that's dead and the other one's in shock. How do you know if a goat is in shock? I don't know.
Excuse me, are you in shock?
Reep.
I don't know. I can tell you this, though. I called back and I said, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I'll be glad to pay for your goat. She said, they're not just goats. Those are babies. Okay, I'll pay for your baby goats. Well, they're not just baby goats. They're pygmy goats. Baby miniature pygmy goats. It's like a chihuahua with less manners. And for what it's worth, I think a naked mole rat could have got into that thing she called a goat pen. It did not require a wolf and a Rottweiler. $147, by the way. And that's what it cost to replace two miniature pygmy baby goats. I'm in San Antonio, Texas. The phone rings. The situation is I've moved down here to take this job with a startup company. And at the startup company, the investor has decided, we don't really want to do that thing. We're going to do this thing. And that made me useless. So I'm now hoping for an internal transfer to another company. The boss says, we've already found a guy locally, but you've got a really strong resume. We'd be willing to entertain that. Okay. The only interview slot I've got available is tomorrow morning at 8:30 in Canton, Texas. Y'all know where San Antonio is? Y'all know where Canton is? It's about 8 hours. So if I start driving at midnight, I'll be there just in time. So I whisper over my shoulder, start packing, honey. We're driving tonight. So I've got the phone to my ear, and he says, now here's some really specific things you need to know for this interview. So I've got my pen out, and I'm ready to take some notes. And as he starts with the questions, I look up and I see my 18-month-old daughter with pants and panties at her ankles. And she's standing at the corner of the door between the living room and the bathroom, and she's going, I have to pee! So go pee! Excuse me, sir, yes. Let me... Go ahead. Crap, she's back. What? I have to pee! Go pee! I can't! There's a cow in the potty! A what? There's a cow! It's in the potty! The boss says, apparently you've got bigger problems there. I said, I'll see you for breakfast. Click. I run to the bathroom. I'm in the bathroom, and I look, and sure enough, there is not a cow in the potty! But there is a very small baby possum scratching for all he's worth to climb the porcelain. You know how big that is? About the size of a baby pygmy goat. I did get the job. That's a whole different story.